All right, it's Tuesday night right here, 8 o'clock p.m. You are listening to the Bad Bat Cast live show. I am your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as a Bad Bat Cast. Here on this bad broadcast on this Tuesday evening. And welcome to the show. If you're new to the show, you can always listen to any of our podcasts on iTunes under Kayak Fishing Radio. You can follow my goings on at the always dreaded and always popular and illustrious abadbatcast.com. So anytime, just jump on there. Also, yakangler.com. If you're into kayak fishing, that's the place to be. So we're more than happy to have new people in there, man, no matter what your experience level is. Even new people, man, we're always glad to have you. So yakangler.com, abadbatcast.com, kayakfishingradio.com. So if there's any other .coms I need to know about, let me know if I forgot them. All right, man. But anyway, it's Tuesday. If you're anywhere in the Tampa Bay area, like I am, or in anywhere in Florida for that matter, you'll know it's, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of that going on tonight. And today, all day. And last night. Yeah. So, get your waders on, because it's been raining quite a bit here lately in Florida. Looking at the radar today, I was wondering if there was a hurricane coming in or something, man, because of the way it was just one band of storms after another, man. So it's definitely that time of year. Mark Lozier's in the house from Virginia Beach, kayak guide up there, man. How you doing, Mark? Good to have you on. If you're listening to the podcast and you decide that you want to come in on a live show, feel free to do so. Give us a call. Any of the shows, it's the same number. It's area code 714-816-4727. And we'd be more than happy to talk to you anytime, man. So give us a call. Also, Mark Lozier's in the house. Hopefully the fishing's been good up there for you. And let me see. What else is who else is in there? The Fishing Chef is in there. From Virginia Beach in that area, cooking up some awesome redfish recipes there. And the Hammerhead, Greg Crisp, is in there, several other folks. So we have fun with the chat room. So if you ever join for a live show, jump in there, register. You need to register in order to talk in the chat room. We're coming up on our voting process for the first annual Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. Keep that in mind. Keep checking back. I'm sure when the voting phase starts, should be starting any time now. We'll let you know, but check on there. There is a link on the Kayak Fishing Radio website or yakangler.com. So get in there. Oh, there's the paddling fan from South Florida. She's no stranger to mosquitoes, as they would say in Great Britain. So anyway, I'm rambling here. And see what else is going on. Yes, I went fishing this weekend. It was kind of a bust. We got a late start. The game plan was this. Get out early, get out often. I like to be on the water and in position as soon as it starts getting light out. But it wasn't. My buddy didn't meet me on time, man. It wasn't until 7 o'clock till we got back on the water, because he gets halfway there and I forgot my PFD, and then had to drive back, and then wait a minute, I forgot this, and had to drive back again. So, that's why I say get your gear ready the night before and put it next to your front door or back door or whichever door you go out, man. And you'll never forget anything. As long as you're awake and you have your coffee and all that stuff, you'll never forget anything. Trust me. I'm an idiot from way back, man. So that's That's my game plan. But anyway, we got out kind of late and started paddling out the pass between Honeymoon Island and Kaladesi Island. My brain fell out there for a minute. And anyway, we got it. We're heading out the pass, and it was kind of, as soon as we hit Edgewater Drive, I saw, man, it's choppy, man. It's really windy and choppy, and trucks blowing all over the road and everything. And so anyway, we said, you know, we'll see what it looks like. You know, we got about halfway out the pass, and it was just, I saw, all I could see is white caps, man. So we turned it around. After the last incident, we figured it was it's best to follow your gut instinct, right? So came back in, decided to fish inshore. Didn't really have a plan B, so we were just kind of drifting some grass flats around there. And managed a couple of dink trout. And I swear, it's the weirdest thing. I was fishing a mirror lure mullet, and you know, bringing it across the surface of the water, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, wow, did that just get hit? You know, kind of looked like it got hit, but it was so choppy, you know. It felt like I had something on there, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, I don't know, I can't. Finally got it back in, and it's about a 15 inch needle fish. And yes, he wasn't foul hooked. It was hooked right in the mouth. So, and I caught no less than 5 of those things on that topwater, man. So, definitely was knocking the lady or the needlefish dead with that thing. So that was a first for me, man. I see them a lot, but I've never I've had them, you know, chew up my soft plastics, but I've never boated one intentionally like that or unintentionally, whatever. So that was a first. On the phone, looks like we got Greg Crisp, the Hammerhead, from New Hampshire, man. How's it going tonight?
Good. How you doing, Rob?
All right. And I just can't locate your intro music here, so shoot me now. Shoot me now. Thank you. Yeah, anyway, did you get out fishing this weekend, Greg? I know you were saying you were getting up at like 2 o'clock in the morning to head out to the coast, man. How'd it go?
It went pretty good. Got out there, launched about 5 o'clock, and went out there, and the fish were biting. I just wasn't hooking up on them, unfortunately. I had 3 good strikes on a 14-inch hoagie. On the surface, and they were just biting the tails. They weren't getting the hook in their mouth. One snapped back at me. The thing stretched so much like a rubber band and then shot back and almost hit me in the face, which would have been fun with a 7-aught hook in the forehead. But then I put an assist hook on and hooked up on one and caught like a 36, 38-incher. So,
awesome.
Wasn't a bad morning after all, and you know, it was pretty rough and choppy out there. Couple guys that were out there ended up chumming, and not just a couple of newbies, but one of the pretty experienced guy said that he was chumming up a slick as well.
Cool. Well, you know, we were talking about last night on Chuck's show. About whether to chum or not to chum, who does it, and how do you do it, and everything. It was interesting. So, you know, give it a listen on the podcast if you haven't already. And we actually had some chum on Sunday, but it wasn't really doing any good, I don't feel. So, and Keith is just he's a maniac when it comes to all the chum stuff. He's like the chum doctor. So he's always cooking up something with, like, you know, cat food and sardines and, you know, you name it.
Yeah, so well, I wasn't talking about that type of chum. That was some seasickness there.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh, man, that's not good. Yeah, you definitely, yeah. Yeah. That's right. I wouldn't want to. Sorry. Sorry, Greg. I think that you're pretty cool and everything, but don't want us to be touching that. area code 904, you're on the line with Kayak Fishing Radio, Bad Pat Cats Live. How you doing? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who is it? Is this
Jeff?
Oh,
hey, what's up, man? This is Brandon, Redfish Jack.
Hey, Brandon. How's it going, man? It's
pretty
Redfish
good.
Jacks. It's Redfish Jacks from Jacksonville, man. And here's his song. That's that guy's intro to music. How you been, man? Did you get out fishing this weekend?
Not really. No, I went down to I went with my little girl down to a lake and did a little fishing, just some bass fishing, but nothing.
Oh yeah, I saw your pictures,
really,
man. On
Yak.
Yeah. I saw your pictures on Yak Angler, man. That's fun. You know, I'll go fishing for some bass, man. Especially when you catch a couple, man.
I caught about 12, about 2 to 4 pound range. So, a
awesome.
Of hours.
What'd you catch them on?
Mirror Lure Provoker on a weedless hook.
Nice.
They were, I think, the golden brum color.
Awesome.
My favorite right now. So.
Hey, you know, I love that color. That's I've been using the DOA. Curly tail grubs and in that color, and I love it, man. And the fish do too. You know, we like to say fishing can be hard sometimes. That's why I like to use an insert lure here or product there. but anyway, you know, that's what I've been using, and my results are varied, but I don't think it's because I'm using that thing. That's cool.
I haven't used the curly tail grubs, but I've used the DOA paddle tails in that color. They're a little bit, they're darker than the mirror lure color, but I haven't caught anything other than the bass on the mirror lure.
Yeah,
the DOA, I've got pretty much everything on those. So.
Did those mirror lure soft plastics? I'm not totally crazy about those. I have caught fish on them.
Yeah.
The clear ones, you know, believe it or not, there's like one that has, it's like clear and it has a little bit of salt and pepper sparkle in it. Those don't work. Those aren't too bad. I've had redfish eat those on me, but those are pretty pretty cool. Let's see, who do we got here? Area code 804. You're on the air with the Bad Bat Cast Live. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Rob Choi, dude.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you? I just started calling to see what you guys are talking about. I can't stay on long, but just thought, what the heck, why not?
That's okay. We're always glad to have you, man. How you been? You been fishing?
Yeah, I've been doing okay. Fishing, yeah, pretty okay.
You've been getting on the spade fish, man.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Man, them things are amazing, man. I don't know if you can just tell by the shape or whatever, but they are they fight so hard, man. It's amazing for their size. So I'm
wow.
Addicted at the moment. I can't stop thinking about them, actually.
Oh, Mark Lozier, he heard you call in and he said, there goes the show.
Oh,
no. I wouldn't say
that,
man.
Mark.
That's awesome. So let me ask you this, Rob. Do you fly fish?
A little bit here and there, not as much as I'd like to, but I think, you know, as time goes on, I'll probably switch over more to it after I get some other things under my belt, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, I love fly fishing, but I don't do it as much as I used to, you know, from the kayak, because, you know, it's, you know, I always like, you know, the spinning reel is so easy, you know, and it's like everybody always says, man, if you want to, you know, fly fish more, leave the spinning stuff at home and just take your fly fishing.
Because otherwise, you can't commit. It's like you always think, oh, what if I could just catch this one on spinning first and then I'll switch to spade, switch to a fly, but then, like, what if you just, it takes a while for you to get to that fish, and I don't know, it just seems to, it always backfires on you if you bring something else, so, yeah.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I always say, well, I'll find them with the DOA or something, you know. I'll find them with the spin and stuff. And then once I find them, I'll switch over, and I never do.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, man. Thanks.
They're just not good numbers or something like that. And so you only get the one, and next thing you know, you bust out the fly rod, they're not there anymore. And
it's good to hear from you, man. I'm glad that that you're out fishing, and this is the time of year to do it, man. Me personally, I'm kind of waiting for it to cool down, because it's totally the water temperature down here is like 90. Yeah, it's 90 degrees down here, man. Water temperature.
Good God, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So everything kind of sucks right now. So as soon as it kind of starts dropping, I think fishing will pick up a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my skunk-tastic trip the other night, or the other day. It was nothing to write home about, and we didn't get offshore to chase some tarpon. So I'm kind of a little bit bummed about that, but better luck next time, I guess. All right, let me see. Oh, you guys want to stay tuned for Isaac's show? Tonight, he has been an outdoor retailer, man, so you definitely want to pay attention to that. He's got a bunch of new news and everything, man. So, but right now, we're going to go to the email bag and see what we got. Okay, you can stop anytime now. Thank you. Okay, this email is brought to you by yakangler.com. How did you get in, dear Rob, how did you get into fly fishing? What sort of setup would you recommend to a noob? And what's the best way to learn how to cast? That's from Tyler in Sarasota. So we're going to talk about this tonight. That'll be the sort of theme of our show a little bit here, if we ever have one of those. Oh, man, how did I get into fly fishing? I think I saw I was watching one of the fishing shows, and somebody was fly fishing for bonefish, and I thought, wow, man, that's cool. I've always wanted to do that. I can do that, man. That's awesome. So I picked up a cheapo depot Crystal River 6-weight setup, and that was what I kind of learned to – got it for like $40. It was the whole combo, the whole thing. So I'm happy about it, and it got me started. Watched a couple of YouTube videos on how to cast. Let's see, and that was it. I practiced out in the backyard. So what you want to do is you want to, fly casting is like it's like a golf swing, man. You gotta practice it. You can't just, expect to go out and hammer, and, you're going to put fish where you want to, put your fly where you want it to go. So it's definitely like a golf swing. All of these top-notch kayak fly fishers, they've definitely practiced. So should you. And what you need to do is just set up something like a little 5-gallon bucket or something, and get 20 feet away from it and see if you can hang a fly into it. And another thing you want to do is go ahead and shoot on over to any sort of practice you can do with it is fantastic. What kind of a rig would I recommend for a new person? If you're not sure that you're going to like it or not, make sure that you get something that you can afford. Don't get something that's too expensive, and you'll definitely just to practice on. If you don't like it or you can't do it or something, then you're not out a whole bunch of money. A good rig to get that I would suggest. Sorry, Mark, I had to mute you there, buddy. It was getting really loud in there, man. I would recommend something along the lines of a Temple Fork Outfitters or something. They have some pretty good starter kits where you can get the rod, the reel, and everything. He hung up. Sorry, Mark. The landing crew there. He was doing dishes and something. But anyway, Temple Fork Outfitters is probably a good place to start. They're fairly affordable. They make a good product. And if you bust it, you just write them a check for $25 or $30 and send it to them, and they send you a new rod. So, which it pays dividends for me, you know, when I get my back cast stuck on a mangrove branch and bust a rod, then, you know, that's pretty cheap for me. My first, you know, quote unquote real setup was an Okuma. That was a pretty good setup. Can't say too much for the rod, but I busted a couple of those, but it's not a bad little starter setup for me. I think it was like, I don't know, $120 or something for a 9-weight. This is a whole new world for you, Tyler, in Sarasota. So you definitely want to get something that's going to be able to handle the kind of fish that we catch in Florida. Something at the very least, an 8-weight. An 8-9 weight is perfect for the kind of fish that we go after here in Florida: snook, redfish, big trout, stuff like that. Any sort of you want probably a 9-foot rod, an 8-weight, 9-weight, something like that. You probably want to go with, since you're new at it, you want to go with a weight forward line. Don't go with something that's, you don't need a sink tip or anything like that right now. A floating line. And this is what it's going to look like. It's going to say WF, you know, when you're picking out line, it's going to say WF, and it's going to say 9, which means weight forward, 9-weight, and that's your fly line. That's what you always gauge the size of whatever you're going for. People that fish for trout and stream stuff up north might fish with like a 5-weight or 4-weight. Bass fishermen might go with a 6-weight. If you're going for saltwater stuff out of the kayak, I would go with an 8 or a 9, definitely. And check out Temple Fork Outfitters, man. Their entry level stuff is pretty nice, man.
I'm going to second on that Temple Fork Outfitters too, man. I've busted mine a couple times, and all you got to do is send a $25 check, and like you said, they'll send you a brand new one. It's nice, and it's good stuff too. I mean, it's not like it's crap material or anything. I screwed up and slammed a door on it, and that's my fault. But they'll send you a new one, so it's pretty sweet.
That'll ruin any rod out there, man. So don't worry about that. I'm stupid. I get my back cast hung up on the rocks behind me or the mangroves behind me, and I, on the forward cast, it just bam, see ya, it smashes. So that's never fun.
I hooked a striper once on the other side of a piling, and I couldn't get around it, and of course the rod was around it, and done deal. But yeah.
Wow, I bet you those things are a riot on a fly.
It was fun.
Awesome. Chuck, man, what would you recommend for a starter? Our emailer from Sarasota sent an email asking about newbie fly fishing stuff. So if you got any ideas for him? Hello. Is this Chuck, area code 321?
Area code 3. Oh, he dropped off, man. What happened?
Uh-oh. Okay, Greg Crisp, you fly fish, man. What would you recommend for a new person, and where would you suggest that they get information on how to cast and stuff?
Casting is, I learned basically out of a book. So I picked up a fly fishing book at my local library when I was about 13 and taught myself. And then the next summer went and visited my grandparents and found out that my grandfather had fly fished long ago in a past life and was really damn good at it. I just didn't know about it. So that's how I learned. If you have someone to teach you or give you some tips, definitely will help out. But, it's it's a lot different on the kayak than when you're standing. When you're standing, you know, you can sort of use a whole body motion, and in the kayak, you just can't do it as easily, and I've yet to perfect it
yeah.
when I'm on my kayak.
I can do it sitting down, and I know exactly what you mean, but it, I can't get any range on it, man. I mean, 30 feet is probably about my range when I'm sitting down.
Hey, guys. Hey, it's
yeah.
Logan. Hey.
What's happening?
Nah, man. Listen to you guys. That's a great point, though, about that. You don't have to be a super caster, though, with the kayak, because we can get so close to the fish, too. So for guys that get started, don't think that you got to be dumping the whole line out there. That's one of the beauties of the kayak, is you can get really close to the fish. So,
how you doing, Mark, man? It's good
I'm
to
doing
have
good,
you on.
Man. Doing good. I was on before you said it was too much noise. I got a puppy, so she's full tilt tonight.
That's okay. I thought it was the landing crew, because he gets on there and he's kind of loud in the background and stuff. So he'll be like doing the dishes or something in the middle of the show. So I had to mute him real quick. I'm sorry. It wasn't nothing personal, man. I love doggies. I got my co-host here is I have a 8-year-old treeing walker coonhound, which if you don't know what that is, it's a big beagle. So she's about 70 pounds and she's sitting here next to me snoring. So I apologize.
I got a bloodhound that's playing in the house, so I'm good.
So what, Mark Lozier, man. What would you recommend? Do you fly fish up there?
Yeah, we do. Actually, I do fly instruction too, and I take fly kayak trips out. A lot of our clients are fly fishermen. So, yeah, I do a lot of fly up here. I do a lot of trips. I'm not a huge fisherman all the time. I have a fly fish all the time, excuse me. But, yeah, I do. And you're right on. I don't know, you know, for his location in Florida, your email there, I don't know exactly what he would need, but that's basically what we use around here. I'm sure it's what Rob's in, the 7, 8, 9 weight kind of category for the stripers and stuff around here. But like Rob said earlier about fishing around the pylons, but Rob can also tell you we get pretty doggone close to those striped bass, so we don't you don't have to cast, you know, like I said earlier, you don't have to dump the reel to get on the fish around here as much. You just got to be able to get in there close enough, so
yeah.
For somebody new, not to get discouraged, that they don't need to be giving it the old lefty crane, dumping everything out there. So, and then intermediate or floating line, intermediate's pretty good. We do a lot of sinking line out here at the bridge, just because the stripers, especially in the daytime, because they go deep during the day. At night, they're right on top. You can literally take your rod tip and smack them on top of the head at times out there. So,
wow.
But yeah.
Yeah, we, you know, it's everything is so shallow here. I mean, most of the water that I fish is about 3 feet deep on average, you know. And but so, you know, I can't see using a sink tip, you know, unless you're out in the channel around the Skyway Bridge or something like that, you know. So, you know, until you're doing that kind of stuff, I would recommend floating line. And, you know, another thing, Tyler in Sarasota, there's all sorts of videos on YouTube about learning how to cast and everything. But look up Joan Wolf, okay? Joan Wolf she is awesome and probably one of my personal favorites. In the fly casting, you know, she's been fly casting probably longer than all of us have been alive. So, she definitely knows, how to do it and how to teach it. And, her demonstration of a double haul is probably the best one I've ever seen. So definitely check her out. I believe you can find that video, personally. Let's see, where did I find it? That's on midcurrent.com. If you're familiar with that. Also, another one I just thought of too, Temple Fork is good, but check out Wild Waters Fly Fishing. They're out of Rochester, New York, and they're pretty sick when it comes to getting some affordable and high-quality fly fishing stuff for you, man. So definitely check them out, Wild Waters Fly Fishing. Also in the house, Greg Becker, man, from Apollo Beach. How you doing, sir?
Good evening, one and all.
Woo-hoo! What's happening, man? How you been?
Good. Glad to be back in semi-sunny Florida from New York.
Oh, yeah, right? Was it hot up there or what?
it was a little warm, but
yeah.
It was we had a couple of days of torrential rain up there, but it was pretty good. Yeah, I was just listening on the was logged into the chat room, but when we got into the learning fly fishing conversation, I wanted to dial in.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I know that you've been doing it a long time too, and you know you did it up north and everything too. So, do you know any sort of without going out and spending $800 on a fly setup for somebody that's new to the sport? Do you know any affordable yet high quality places to ask a guy to go?
You know, there are a lot of them. And a lot of it comes down to personal preference, but I think the cart might be a little bit before the horse here. At the risk of pontificating a little bit, I very rarely, when I was guiding and giving lessons up in New York, I very rarely encourage somebody to buy equipment before they had taken a couple lessons, because so many people your casting style can be so different, depending on what your body mechanics are. And I mean, I've got a torn rotator cuff, so I had an elbow problem, so I had to change my cast. And until you work with somebody, and you don't have to go out and spend, thousands of dollars or even hundreds of dollars on lessons, but stop by a good fly shop in your area, ask them for a couple lessons, but use their gear. Take a couple mm-hmm. lessons, see what your casting style is like, learn some of the basics and the mechanics. If you've got a real slow casting stroke and that's what works for you, you don't want to go out and buy a high-speed, low-drag, super fast or super stiff action rod, because you're not going to cast well with it. You're going to get very frustrated when the tippet keeps whacking you back in the back of the head and you can't figure out why. Conversely,
yeah.
you don't want to buy a mid-flex rod or a medium-flex rod if you've got a very fast, very short, very powerful casting stroke, because you'll overpower the rod consistently and you'll spend more time untying wind knots than you do fishing.
You also get a Popeye arm too.
Yeah, exactly. So I really recommend that people take the time to take a lesson or two before they spend the money. I think it's money very well spent, and I think it'll guide them much better towards the type of equipment they want to buy. I mean, because there are people who say, well, an 8-weight's an 8-weight's an 8-weight, and that's not true. Once you get into the higher dollars. But you can find really good rods if you make a relationship with a fly shop. They frequently have used gear that is sometimes very rarely used, because people go out and buy the wrong thing, or they buy stuff. They don't go out and take a lesson. They get frustrated with all the knots in the back of their head or the knots in their line. And they say, this isn't for me, and they'll come in with gear that's very good for half the price of new gear. But I can't recommend enough taking a lesson or two. The other thing that's out there is there are two books that we kind of had on the counter as the Bibles. I very much endorse your recommendation of Joan Wolfe and anything she has to say, videos, books. If you get the chance to sit at her feet and listen to whatever comes out of her mouth, do it, because you'll never, ever regret a moment of it. But there are two books. One is called The Cast. I'm trying to remember the rest of the name. I think it's Theories and Applications for More Effective Techniques or something like that. It's by Ed Jarowski and Lefty Cray. It talks mm-hmm. about the physics and the mechanics of casting and how a lot of the things that you might have heard in the past, you might think differently about once you understand what the physics are and how they work. And then the other one, which is kind of the companion book to that, it was called Troubleshooting the Cast, which, read second, I guess. But it'll help you say, if my cast is doing this, somebody watch my cast, and if it's doing this, this is what the physics are of what the rod is doing or what my line's doing or what my hand is doing or what I'm doing with my body. Because I said in
Absolutely.
The chat room, it is really yeah. critical to get your technique and get the mechanics of the cast down well when you're standing up on both feet on solid ground in grass or on a casting platform before you try to muck with it and do it sitting down or up to your chest in water, because then the little things that you might be doing wrong that somebody could fix in 2 minutes, they get magnified like a billion times when you change your body position and your mechanics, and it makes it a lot more difficult to cast well. And then we're back to, whacking yourself and impaling yourself in the scalp with a clouser.
Hey,
not that I've ever done that. I'm just saying.
Well, I've done it. It takes me back to fishing for bonefish down at Long Key State Park in the Keys. And there was about a 30-mile-an-hour gale coming out of the, you know, northeast the whole week I was there. I don't think it shut down at all, you know. It didn't stop at all. So I'm out there, you know, and luckily, you know, I would just put the back cast in the wind and do the best I could because it was, like, near impossible to cast into the wind, you know, and expect it to go anywhere. And I if I got, you know, turned the wrong way with the wind at my back at the right angle, man, I put a couple of crazy Charlies in my back that I had to have picked out for me. So, yeah, definitely that's not fun. And you definitely want to practice, you know. And Greg's right. Actually, the place that I know that does it around here is Bill Jackson's Shop for Adventure. They're located on US 19 in, I don't know, it's kind of like on the border of Pinellas Park and St. Petersburg there. And every Saturday at 10:30, I believe, they do a fly casting clinic, man. And I'm not sure exactly on the price or anything like that. I think if you get the lessons, they are affordable. I'm not even going to take a stab at how much they are. It's at their Bill Jackson's website. But you can, they will give you a discount on gear if you do take lessons. So definitely if you have something like that down in Sarasota, Tyler, do that or give a drive up here, man. You know, Bill Jackson's is an awesome place. And anybody local or not local, if you're ever in town, you definitely want to take a trip there because that's an awesome place. It's one of the very few last remaining mom and pop super sports stores. They have all sorts of backpacking gear and kayaking gear and scuba gear and you name it, man, and it's great. Redfish Chuck, I know that you're dying and you're about ready to jump through the phone and choke me if I don't get to you here soon. What would you did you get to hear the email from Tyler in Sarasota about fly fishing and new people? Yeah, he was asking about how to get into it and, you know, where to look and, you know, where to get gear and all sorts of stuff. So I want to hear your take on this, man.
Man, I'll tell you what, the list of guys you have on the phone right now, Greg Becker included, these guys all are hitting it right on the head, man. I mean, you got to just be very careful. Fly fishing is a sport that everybody's trying to get into, that everybody should be able to do. That traditionally was not that way. It's traditionally a sport for folks that don't mind spending exorbitant amounts of money for the most simplistic gear on the planet. And, yeah. You know, as a tackle retailer, it boggles my mind what some folks will drop on their first combo. I actually took a gentleman out in the river looking for some redfish on a charter. He had never fly fished a day in his life. I didn't know that until the morning that he showed up, you know, waiting to go fishing. And he had a brand new Sage and a brand new Nautilus reel. And I was just like, wow, nice combo. He's like, yeah, I just picked it up yesterday. I'm like,
oh, my God.
Oh, boy. You know, talk about not, you know, being on the short end of the stick. It's definitely something that, like you said, Rob, you should definitely go and talk to folks at your local fly shop and see what they would recommend for you. It's almost like buying golf clubs in the sense that it's really specific to the angler. I think Greg had said that. I just kind of caught a glimpse of what he was saying there. But as far as, for instance, myself, I'm 6'1", I'm 245, and I'm a pretty strong fella. I can throw a fly line a lot harder than the average guy, and I tend to overpower, you know, my flies. And to me, the little slightly stiffer rod works out better for me than, say, the frail 135-pound female fly caster. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same mentality in golf. You can't just go to Dick's Sporting Goods, buy a set of golf clubs off the rack and be like, okay, cool, I'm going to go become a golfer now. You know, if you want to do it right, you really have to get basically custom fitted for that. And all the folks that work at fly shops, man, that's what they do. That's what they specialize in. They don't mess with spinning gear too often. They don't mess with conventional type gear too often. It's mainly just that fly stuff. and you'll save yourself a pile of money if you just go and do it right the first time rather than trying to kind of cut corners to maybe get a inexpensive, let's go out and try it and see if I like it kind of deal. And I don't mean inexpensive as in like the combo being inexpensive. I just mean jumping on the first thing you see that sounds like a good deal. You know, and a lot of folks are guilty of it. Shoot, I was guilty of it when I bought my first fly rod. But, you know, I don't know. I think that I think you guys have got it covered for sure.
Yeah. You know, it was just something that, you know, I'm totally self-taught, you know, and it's like I'm sure. And trust me, I am not any sort of a Joan Wolf or a Lefty Cray or anything like that, man. But I can get it out there. I kind of know how to do it. I don't know. I just taught myself. I watched some videos and, you know, watched some YouTube videos and went out and did it. You know, that was how I learned how to do it. And I didn't have anybody to tell me, hey, you know, you're doing this wrong or you're doing that wrong or anything like that. So, you know, I'm sure that you could probably benefit from that. But it's not... I mean, you can do it, man, and trust me. You know, just do a little bit of homework and everything and see what kind of, you know, see what you can do, man. And if you can find somebody down there that gives lessons and you don't have to, you know, provide your own gear, that's probably a good way to try it to see if you like it rather than going out and buying a cheap combo. So, Chuck, what kind of what would you recommend? You're a tackle shop guy. What would you recommend? Something that's a halfway decent deal.
As far as manufacturer or?
Yeah, what sort of a combo would you get that isn't gonna like you know knock the somebody's bank account out of whack, as it were?
Well, I think the first thing that he's got to really figure out is what's his main target species going to be. Like for me, redfish and trout are my main. Target species I fly, and if I want to go after like tarpon and anything that pulls a bit harder than that, I've got rods for that. But I mean, if he's mainly going to be targeting black drum, redfish, and trout, your reel doesn't really have to be the best quality reel that's out there. You're not talking about a fish that's going to burn 100 yards of backing off your reel in the first run. You're talking about a fish that might pull 10 feet, and you might get him on the reel when he first eats the fly. So, I don't know. You know what? Reddington makes a pretty decent reel for not too much money. In fact, I think I just saw my buddy was looking at an 8-way combo that was like, I want to say 179 rod and reel. But again, that's going to go back to you really got to figure out what rod's going to be best for you. And your shops over there, I know, are a lot more specific than my shops over here are, my fly shops, that is. And, you know, they may have those Reddingtons in stock. They may have some inexpensive St. Croix in stock. As far as the reels go, I mean, I'll be honest with you, that Fluger, I think it's a President or something.
Yeah, that's what I use.
That Fluger reel is a dynamite starter reel for anybody just trying to figure out whether or not you even like it, you know. I don't see the need in spending personally the $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 on a fly reel if you're going to catch redfish and trout. To me, it just doesn't make any sense. Sure, you look cool doing it, and, you know, is there any benefit to it? I don't think there really is for that species. But, again, if you're catching tarpons and bonefish and that kind of thing, then, yeah, obviously you definitely get what you pay for. But I use G-Lumis fly reels. I love them. I mean, they're not the most expensive things in the world. But they're still nice, you know. They've got good drag on them. They hold a pile of backing. So I don't know, man. I'm kind of on the fence with that one. You know how I am with my spinning gear. I don't mind spending the money on my spinning gear. And it's the same way for me in fly stuff when it's needed. But as a beginner, I think you really got to kind of be careful. And because a lot of guys buy it or buy into it and find out that it's really not for them, especially if you're going to try and do it out of a kayak. If the kayak you're fishing in isn't stable enough for you to be able to stand in and fly fish, and you haven't perfected your cast standing up, like on the bank, or at least just sitting down in like a flat field, then you forget it. I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to learn how to throw a fly from the seating position in a kayak, being a beginner. That would just drive me absolutely insane. It drives me insane now, and I've been fly fishing since I was 12 years old. You know, I can't stand to sit down and try and throw a fly out of my kayak unless I'm sitting sideways with my feet dangling in the water or something like that, you know.
Yeah. Mark Lozier, I know that you're kind of new to the show. I'm glad that you called in. What sort of kayak do you paddle, man?
I'm all native. I either use my Ultimate or a Manta Ray.
Oh, cool. Good deal, man. And are you a pro staffer for them or anything?
Yes. Yeah, sure am.
Cool. So do you stand up and fly fish out of any of that stuff?
The ultimate, that's half the reason why I bought it, is to be able to stand up either to sight to fish or for fly fishing. Yeah, that's definitely the ultimate. Can't stand up in a Manta Ray, but definitely can in the ultimate.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Let me see. I was going to ask you something else, too. What is the name of that that lure company that you that you pro staff for? I can't remember. It was you gave away the a package to one of our listeners. Marshworks, man. How where can we find those at?
Marshworks.com. Marsh-works.com.
Now, is that something that's going to work anywhere, or is it basically, is it regionally specific, or what?
No, it's inshore specific. I mean, red trout, we use them for stripers also. We have a collection of baits, paddle tails, shrimp imitations, and jerk sets. We make popping corks, do all of our jig heads. Everything's made right here in the good old USA.
Awesome. Well, you know, I mean, I'm glad that you called. I got to get some intro music in here for you. You know, we'll find some leftover salmon or something for you, because I know that you can. I know you like to get down with that kind of stuff, man. So, well, awesome, awesome. Greg Crisp, man, are you going fishing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm actually gonna head out again Saturday morning and. Being that the tide's a little later, I think I'm going to actually try to take my 10-year-old out in the ocean for the first time and see if I can't get him on a striper.
Do you use a face mask of any kind?
Up here, I don't always wear it. Most of the time I'm fishing at night or real early in the morning and I'm off the water by 10, and it's just not really needed up here. But if I go out during the day, late afternoon, yeah, I wear one.
Cool. You should, man. I mean, trust me, I've gotten that burn off the water before, man. And I want to recommend to anybody, whether it's a buff or anything like that, you need to have some sort of face covering, man, to protect yourself from the face. Protect your face from the sun. Protect yourself from your face. Yeah, right. So anyway, I want to recommend that, man. So put a blog post up on the blog this week, just yesterday about that, and I broke it down for you on three of them that I own. Yep. Yeah.
Give a shout out to what it was for, the Columbia Freeze, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's the one that I'm using currently. I really like it. It's really comfortable, and didn't really notice that I had it on. And it didn't fog up my sunglasses, man. So I definitely like that one. It's kind of a new one.
Yeah.
Greg Becker, do you use face protection?
As a matter of fact, I do. I've got a couple different kinds. I've got the traditional buff, and then I've got built into the Breathe Like a Fish gear, the built-in gator that I really like quite a bit.
You know, the thing I have just the net gator, the Breathe Like a Fish net gator, and I found that it smashes my nose down. That was the only problem that I had with it. I thought it was a pretty good design and a really good idea putting that mesh there, man. You know, that your breathing hole, so to speak. But it was kind of tight on me, and I have like a pretty normal size, you know, medium size head and face and nose and stuff, you know. So I don't know, man. It was my thing. Chuck, which one do you use, man? I know you use something there that I haven't seen.
I use what's ever free. I'm kind of cheap like that. No, I've got a couple different ones. I wear a buff. I've got several buffs. I've got a couple from Flying Fisherman, just a knockoff of the Buff Company, basically. I've got a couple from Fish Skins Company, and my buddy right now, I believe, is working on one from Hook Carpe Diem, but I'm not positive.
Oh, yeah, man, that guy would make some awesome ones. Definitely. Let me know if he gets one going. I'll check that out. I got to say, Buff, the Buff, actual Buff Company. I know that we like to call our face coverings buffs, but you know, what would be the proper term for it? Neck freezer, neck gaiter. I don't know. Neck wrap. Whatever you want to call it. Buff has, God, good Lord, I can't even count how many that they have, designs they have. They have everything from rainbows to camouflage to, I don't know, I can't even imagine, I can't even describe all of the ones that they have. So they definitely have a good selection of them. I just find that a Buff is a little bit warm. I'll use it in colder temperatures, but not in the middle of the summer in Florida, man. They might make a cooler one, I'm not sure, probably. Yeah, so Mark, do you use a face wrap, a neck gaiter or anything?
Yeah, I just recently got picked up with the Columbia Pro Staff. That's why I was joking around about giving the shout out of what you wrote about. But yeah, the Columbia. Yeah, but I use the Buff too. But yeah, I got the Columbia Freeze. Actually, I got two more coming this week. So yep.
I thought that it was going to be, you know, like some of the high tech stuff that they come out with. You know, I thought it was going to be like wearing air conditioning on your face or something, but it wasn't really the case. I didn't, you know, it didn't really feel that much different. It definitely is thin, and you get some air circulation in there and everything, but it protected my face, and it stayed put, and it didn't fog up, and it didn't squash my face down. You know, I didn't feel like I was wearing a compression sleeve on my head or something. So I definitely like that one. So that's
yeah,
cool.
It's on
you
the
know,
same lines as the Omni Shade stuff, where it kind of helps wick away the moisture too when you're sweating, which helps a lot. So yeah, it's
yeah.
good stuff.
See, I'm kind of liking the Columbia stuff a little bit more and more as we go. I always thought that the Columbia stuff was just basically just stuff that people wanted to wear to look like they walked out of the fishing catalog, you know. And I'm coming around on it, man. I really like I have the Omni Shade is probably one of my favorite fishing shirts to wear in the summertime because it's so cool and you get some air circulation in it and everything. And it's very lightweight and soft and it's a very nice shirt, man. I definitely like that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, so we're going to go down the line and see who's fishing. We know Greg Crisp is fishing. Greg Becker, are you fishing this weekend, sir?
Unknown. I just got back from 10 days in New York and need to see what the family plans are going to be for the weekend. But if there's an opportunity, I'll be out there.
Did you fish when you were in New York?
No, I didn't. The trout streams were all real low. The temperature had been up in the 90s and 100s for the month before. And all the trout streams were, you know, you even just hooking them, you'd build up so much lactic acid they'd be dead. So I didn't I didn't go ahead and exercise it. I looked at a couple of the streams, but didn't wet a line.
Awesome. Chuck, are you fishing, man?
I'm going to try and get out and maybe hook up with Aaron and go do some nighttime mangrove snapper fishing in the port.
Awesome. Man, I'm telling you, I'm coming over. When I get my GoPro stuff, I'm coming. And and don't give me any stuff that, I can't go. I'm coming, dude. So, I'll let you know ahead of time. I'll let you know.
Way to call me out, buddy.
Well, I'm not going to call you up on the, you know, I'm not going to call you and say, hey, dude, I'm waiting for you at Beacon 42 or something. But I'm coming. I'm definitely coming. Right. And I'll have GoPros in hand, buddy.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. So, and, you know, just so you know, I just got a new Mac, mini Mac, so I can edit videos. So once I get all that ironed out and get the GoPros secured, I'm going to be chomping at the bit to get out there and film Redfish Chuck catching some fish.
Real quick, dude, let me throw out a real quick shout for my show for Monday, if
you
don't mind, Rob.
Yeah.
I've got a special guest joining me next Monday on the Redfish Chuck show, which is Monday night at 8 o'clock. That would be the lady who has begun the company called Florida Sportswoman, as opposed to Florida Sportsman. So, yeah, that'll be a very interesting conversation with all their goings-on. They've got a lot of really cool things they're into, and they're doing a lot of, like, hook kids on fishing type seminars and things like that. So if you don't have nothing going on Monday night, listen to me. It'll be a good one.
Awesome. Well, you know, even if you do have something going on Monday night, listen to the podcast, man. Chuck does a nice job on Mondays, and we're glad to have him on the team. So welcome, and Chuck, I really enjoyed your show. We went an extra, what'd you go, an extra 30 minutes or something
minutes.
Last night? Yeah, 40 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we were just jabbering away, man. So that was fun. Mark Lozier, are you going fishing this, you got any clients this weekend, sir?
No, I just had a guy call about booking a trip, but no, actually Saturday morning, our Tidewater Howe chapter has an event, so we're going to be taking some Marine veterans from the hospital out fishing on Saturday morning, getting them out in the kayaks and get them out of the hospital.
Awesome. Good deal. And you have a website there that people can call you up and book trips up there?
Yeah, if you go to ruthlessfishing.com.
Awesome. Well, I haven't even checked that out, man. Do you have that listed on your Facebook page or anything?
Yeah, it's on there. Yep, definitely.
Okay, cool. I want to check that out, man, because I always like to know where people are coming from so I can tell people where to head to, you know?
Yes, appreciate it.
So another thing that we got going on tonight, right after my show at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, listen to Isaac the Nothing Miller. He's been at the Outdoor Retailer Show all week, last week, so he's going to have a lot of stories and be jacked up and hopefully some interviews and stuff like that. So make
hey,
sure
folks,
you tune in.
Isaac the Nothing Miller, kayak.
Yep, that's right. That's awesome, Isaac. Now, let me ask you this, Isaac. Do you have anything special for tonight?
Hey, folks, Isaac the Nothing Miller here. Mike, I can...
Oh. Okay, well, that's awesome. So who is it exactly that does the West Coast show?
Hey, folks, Isaac the Nothing Miller here.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, well, so tune in to Isaac's show. That's at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 Pacific, right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. And, God, we got a Daryl Angler to Anglers in the house. We got a lot of people. CB Kayak 02 is in the house, in the chat room there, and the Fishing Chef and the Hammerhead and Mark Lozier and a bunch of folks, man. And we've just had a full house tonight, and we're getting to the end of our hour. I don't know if I'm fishing this weekend, man, which is kind of really it's going to keep me up at night until I get a game plan together. So maybe I'll have something to report by tomorrow or Thursday. So that's about it for me. Make sure you check out yakangler.com. That is a great website. Kayakfishingradio.com. Check the first annual Kayak Fisher Awards website there to see if the voting has started. Mark Lozier is actually one of the nominees. So get in there and cast your votes. And Redfish Chuck. ChucksKayakAdventures.com, and you've got Greg Crisp at yakfish.net. And Greg Becker doesn't have a blog, I don't believe. Do you, sir?
No, thanks. I just talked to myself.
Good one. Good one.
Arguing, you got to worry.
No, I always win.
Awesome. Well, it's good to have you back, man. And I value your insight on this stuff, man. So definitely welcome back, and I'm glad that you're back, and I'm sure that everybody else is too. So yakangler.com, kayakfishingradio.com, my blog badbackcast.com, and all the other 1-800 pound sand. Until next week, I am your host Rob DeVore, a Bad Backcast. And I am bidding you good night. Listen to Isaac's show, Mark Landing Crew Wheeler's show tomorrow, the Mid-Atlantic show at 8. And the Godfather, Chip Gibson, is at 8 o'clock on Thursday. So until then, Y'all have a good one. Take a kid fishing and make sure you wear your PFDs. See ya.